we try to expound upon the Word of God this morning. And every time I come before God's people, it's not really an easy place to be, because we don't want to say anything would be harmful to God's people. We want to try to preach the Word of God in truth, and the way that we as Old Baptists understand it. And my prayer is every time I come before God's people is that we might be blessed by the Word of God, and that I might be blessed to be able to preach it in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people that tries to preach the Word of God today, and I believe a lot of times that, I'm not talking about Old Baptists, and maybe some in the Old Baptists, but maybe they try to express their views instead of the Word of God. I always pray before I come before God's people that I might express God's Word in the fullness that He's given me to be able to express it. And sometimes we may say something that might be wrong. And I've had to back up on things a few times that I had thought I had it all figured out, and that's me. You know, that's me trying to satisfy myself more than satisfy God's people. You know, we get sometimes, we are more in love with ourselves than we are the Lord, and we want to say what we believe and what we think without expounding through the Holy Spirit the Word of God. So I pray this morning that everything that I say would benefit God's people and would be to the honor and glory of God. So this morning, as we come before the Lord, I want to turn to the third chapter of 1 John. And this is talking about one of the greatest attributes that the Lord has ever given us. And it's about His love. And John, as he expounds and talks about the love of God, and of course the whole Bible, I believe, is written upon the tables of God's love. And it to, about His love to us. And as we think about it, there is no greater thing in life. I do not believe there's any greater thing in the life than to know the Lord Jesus Christ and about His love. As I look back upon my life, and before I knew that the Lord loved me, and what a dark and empty place I was in. What a dark and dreary life I was in. And when the Lord came unto me and changed my heart and showed me that He loved me, oh, what a difference my life took. What a difference it made in my life to know that God loved me. Now, I've always believed that there was a God, but I had a head knowledge of God, but I didn't have the heartfelt knowledge of God. And once you're born again of the Spirit of God, you begin to know the Lord. You begin to know of His great love and about His all of His attributes that He has to give to us and down through our lives. And God shows His love to us not just one time, but God shows His love to us thousands and millions of times each day in our life. If we just stop and think about it and see the attributes of God's love, His mercy and His glorious greatness to us and what He means to us and how we grasp on to the Lord and how we grasp on to our salvation. And this is all because the Lord loves us. The world doesn't know anything about God. They hear the word God, but they don't know anything about God. Those people that are out in the world only knows about the worldly things. Now, I was in that condition at one time, didn't know the Lord, didn't know if he loved me. But I know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God loves me. Now, sometimes the devil will come along and he'll say, well, you know, if the Lord loves you, how come he allows so many things to happen in your life that we think is so awful? But even in the bad things that happen in our lives, the Lord still loves us, and he's still watching over us and still protecting us, and is going to take us through these things. These things, trials and tribulations, we'll have. As long as we live in this world, we'll have trials and tribulations. But thanks be unto God, we know we have someone that we can go to and cling to and cry unto him. We cry unto him, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. It's me again, Lord. How many times a day do we come before the Lord and say, it's me again, Lord? And God never gets tired of hearing our cries to him because he loves us. And he says we are to love him. You know, I think this process, the love of God is a great, this is something that is supernatural. It's not a natural love. God is, of course, God is the author of that too, natural love. But this supernatural love that we have for God is something that is so great that you cannot explain the love of God. Did you ever try to explain the love of God? I believe it's beyond man's, beyond his comprehension to even hardly describe the love of God. We can't even hardly describe it. But I like to be able to know and to be able to feel. I wished I had the words this morning of how I feel. But I can't describe the whole love of God. We sometimes are able to understand it a little more each day as we go through life, don't we? We understand the love of God each day. I believe it's a learning process. It's a feeling process that we go through in life, being able to understand God's love more and more each day. You know, I believe when the Apostle Paul, I believe when he arose each day of his life and he looked out the window and was thankful that the Lord had was blessing him with another day in the land of the living, I believe that his expression, Lord, I want to know more about your love. His prayer was, I want to know more about your love. And so that should be our prayer each day of our life. So as we read in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and what a great and bold statement John makes here. He says, behold. What it's enormous what John is saying here. It's great what he's saying. The great love of God, the love of God that comes unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Did you know that once upon a time in our lives we couldn't understand what that meant to a certain extent. But now we understand it. We understand it to a certain extent. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, talking about the children of God, not the whole Adamic world, because God does not love the whole Adamic world. He loves his people. He loves those that he chose before the foundation of the world. He loves those that Christ shed his blood for upon the cross. He has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And to begin to be able to fathom such a love. Therefore the world knoweth us not. You see, he includes the world in this. They knoweth not God's love. They'll never know the love of God. Those that God didn't choose, the wicked, the world doesn't even begin to know what we know about the love of God. Aren't you glad this morning that you know a little bit of something about the love of God and about the Lord? We know that he bled and died upon the cross for our sins. Not the world, as the free will people would say, God loves the whole world. He loved the whole Edenic world, and he gives everybody a chance. Well, I don't believe God ever done anything by chance. He done it when Christ died. He said, it's finished, and then it is finished. And those that God had given him to die for, he did not lose a one. He knows how many. He knows the perfect number. It's a number that no man can number. He says they are of the sands of the sea. They are those that God elected to love before the foundation of the world. And I thank God this morning that I'm got nothing to do with that. I've got nothing to do with the love that I have for God's people. I love you because God has put it in my heart. God is the author of the love that you have, spiritual love this morning, that you have in your heart. It's not because that you did anything to earn that or to receive it, but it happened in a time that God has chosen. God born you again. You don't say, well, oh, Lord, I want to be born again. Well, sometimes we might say that, but God has a special chosen time in our life to born us again. It's not up to you to be born again. If it was, you'd never wish that. You'd never say, well, I want to be born again. I don't think if you're in the world that you have any inkling to be born again. I don't think that. I think that if you're in the world and out in the world, that's what you do. That's what you love. Hey, he says, love not the world. Our his warning to us was said, he said, love not the world, but love me. Love the Lord thy God. The great commandment was to love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, and to love each other. If you have the love of God in your heart, you love each other. I know sometimes it may seem like that old Baptists are about the contrariest people sometimes that you've ever run into, but we're old Baptists. But when it's all said and done, we want to kiss and make up, don't we? We want to love one another. Yes, I know that we get upset with one another. We're not in the same mold. We're not in the same mind. Sometimes, and the devil gets along, and he comes along, and he causes havoc in our hearts, and we quench the spirit, and we want to get angry at one another, or kindly tell each other off. But in the end, I've never seen it fail. Well, when we come to each other and say, I regret what I've said or what I've done, we hug each other's neck and we go on and love one another. That is the love of God. I've known people that don't know the love, and they've been mad at everybody their whole life. They can't stand each other. They can't, you know, they got a problem with everything in life. They don't enjoy life. We enjoy life, or we should enjoy life. There's no better life than to have the life of Christ within you. There's no better way to. You want to be happy in this world? Love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And so that is what we're trying to experience as we go on through this old weary world. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world didn't know him and how anything about the Lord and his love. So we do. We know about his love because God has told us and put it in our hearts. There's people that don't have the Word of God who know the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord opens up their hearts. I'm sure that there's many people over in China who don't have the Word of God, who know the Lord Jesus Christ. When God works, and this is how God's love is so powerful, he says that he does an operation, doesn't even leave a scar, does he? He puts in a new heart. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ. I never did read the Word of God very much. Didn't know. I've heard it a lot in my life. I went to church all my life. But I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy sitting in church on them hard pews. It wasn't soft pews like these. The pews that we sat on was, I believe they were the hardest pews that I ever sat on. But I listened to the Word of God. I mean, I heard it in the sense that I had heard it in my ears, but I didn't have a hearing ear. The Lord hadn't operated on my heart. And when the Lord did, He opened my ears up. He opened my heart up. He put a new heart, and He performed that operation without a scar. So the Lord is good. The Lord is great. In our first experience with the Lord, do you remember your first experience with the Lord and how He came unto you and how you knew who it was when He was speaking in that little, still, small voice? You experienced or had access to God and His love. And the first thing, I was kind of like the Apostle Paul. When the Lord came unto me, the first thing I did was I'm able to pray. I'd never been able to really pray before, but I was able to pray, and I paced and I walked, and I wasn't in a church. I was at home, but I paced the floor and prayed to God, and was thanking God that He was revealing Himself unto me, and that I could relate somewhat to Him right then. And these are really difficult. This is kind of a difficult time when God reveals Himself to you in understanding how we can come before a holy God as a sinner and wretch that we are, and you think about all the things when you did when you didn't know God, and you ask God, say, Lord, I repent of my sins and forgive me of my sins. Of course, God forgives you of those sins. And we repent, and we repent, and we repent. And God says that we're to repent daily. But a lot of times I have to repent hourly, don't we? So we're come before a holy and a mighty God. And we know of His love, and we can feel that in our hearts. And we witness, we want to witness. The first thing that I wanted to do is witness how the Lord had came unto me. The first thing that you want to do is tell about what the experience you had with the Lord in your life. Isn't that a good experience? Isn't that a wonderful experience to be able to experience the love of God, the mighty love of God? And as we come before a mighty God, we have to remember we have the authority that God has given us now. As we've been born again of the Spirit of God to come to Him, we don't have to go through anybody else to get to the Lord. We can go straight to the Lord in our prayers and our showing our love to Him. We don't have to go through the Mother Mary. We don't have to go through anybody else. We don't have to go through some priest or pope to get to the Lord. We can go to Him directly, and that's the way that I want to go to Him. I don't want to have to go through anybody else. You don't have to go through me to get to the Lord. You got a straight line to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think about these times now, and they are perilous times, and we need the love and the grace of God in our lives. These times of havoc and troubles and confusion in this world, they're confused, and they'll stay confused because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not confused. I'm not confused about who I love this morning, and I know Him as my personal Savior. I know Him that He has a hedge about me, and He protects me, and He loves me, even though sometimes the Lord may remove the hedge like He did from around Job, but He says, my love and my grace is sufficient. He's there. He's always there. God is never too late. He's always right on time. He never loves us a little bit today and a whole lot tomorrow. His love is the same every day of our lives. It's not like our natural love, is it? It's not like our natural love. Sometimes we can love a whole lot, and sometimes we can't love a whole lot. We don't want to love a whole lot. I'd rather love a whole lot. Even in my, I'm in this old fleshly body, and I know that sometimes my wife says that I'm so laid back that I don't worry about anything. I don't worry about nothing. Well, I'm concerned, but I'm not going to start pulling my hair out and just pacing the floor over things that's going on. Yes, we are to be concerned, but we are God's people. We are to come together. We are to be together. And we are to pray together. We are to love each other. We are to love together. And in that, we can conquer the tallest mountain. We can conquer things on this earth by the grace of God and by the love of God and by the power of God. As over in, I believe it's the sixth chapter of the Ephesian letter. Let's turn there right quick. Well, I tell you what, let's turn to the eighth chapter of the book of Romans right quick and just show you what the Apostle Paul and his mentions about God's love. Eighth chapter, the 35th verse of the book of Romans. I've read this many, many times, preached many, many times upon this, what Paul wrote here in the 35th chapter. He says, "Who shall?" Who? And not that he didn't know, but what he is saying here, there's nobody has the power, the strength to do anything but God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall? Is there anything more powerful than the love of God? Is anything more powerful than the love of Christ? Nothing. So, who shall separate? The devil can't even separate you from the love. He can cause a little bit of havoc in our lives. The world can cause havoc, but it can't separate us from the love of Christ, because God's love is the most powerful thing that we have in this life. The love of Christ. And it goes on to mention some 17 or 18 different things here that came upon the Apostle Paul, and probably not near as many of these things will ever aggravate us. But listen to what Paul says. Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, nor peril, nor sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, for we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I'm glad it says sheep there, Brother Dave. We're God's little lambs. We're his sheep. We're his sheep. So God is in control. Don't you never worry. Don't you never care. God is in complete control of things in this world, and especially of his love. God's love, he don't quit loving us. Never, ever. God's love is eternal. Never had a beginning, never has an end. God loved us. L-O-V-E-D, past tense. God's not just beginning to love you here in this timely world, but he has loved us the same before the foundation of the world as he loves us now. So it says, it goes on to say in the 36th verse, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the days long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And then he says, nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That loved us. Oh, thank the Lord this morning that he loved us. And he's not talking about the Adamic world. He's talking about us personally, us, his children. And so, nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Loved us. A personal love to us. God loves us with a agape love. That's the most powerful love that you can love. It's the agape love of God, and it can't be broken. It can't be torn down. It can't be cast away. It's his love, and that's in His love. And when God touches His love and brings His love into a heart, brother, you're going to know it. You're not going to be a wondering, oh, what's happened to me? When I was born again of the Spirit of God, I wasn't wondering who it was that was talking to me in that little still voice and showing me His love. I knew who it was beyond a shadow of a doubt. So we know, and I've never met a child of God. I've never met one that's been born again of the Spirit of God who wishes that that had never happened. Every child of God is glad and happy and to know the perfect love of God. And so we just want to dwell in that. We want to, that should be our most valuable thing in our life, is the love of Christ in our life. For I am persuaded. And when Paul says he's persuaded, I believe he says that there's nothing going to change my mind about this. I am persuaded. There's nothing going to come before me to make me do anything else or believe anything else. For I am persuaded that neither death, he mentions all of these things that he suffered through his life. And we know how much the Apostle Paul suffered in his life. I'm persuaded that neither death can't take you away from the love of God. Matter of fact, when I die, I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to heaven. I believe that with all my heart. Now, sometimes the devil may come along and try to persuade you that God doesn't love you and heaven's not going to be your home. But 99% of the time, I know where I'm going. One time I was holding a meeting down in Virginia or someplace. I asked this lady, I said, I said, do you know you're going to heaven? She said, well, I really don't know. I said, well, do you love the Lord? She said, yeah, I love the Lord. But I believe you should know beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, that proves that you are a child of God. And if we're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, and that's how we can tell. You know how you can tell if you're in the Spirit of the Lord? You know how you can tell if you've been born again of the Lord? When your priorities is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your first thing upon your heart and in your mind is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your priorities are in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the things of the world, not in the things that you're going to do today. Yes, we should be thankful for God gives us strength. As we go through time each day, as we go through each day, we should be thankful that the Lord is giving us the power to be able to do what we do. And what we do should be to the honor and glory of God. Not to the world, but to the honor and glory of God, first of all. That's how we show our love to the Lord. Of course, the Lord already knows how much we love Him. You're not going to surprise the Lord in how much you love Him. But again, we need to love Him more. We need to love Him more and more. And we sang that song each day. Each Sunday. We want to love Him more, don't we? We want to love Him more. And that should be our very mind and thought each morning as we arise from our sleep. I want to love you more, Lord. I want to know you better. He says, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. Nothing. Nor height nor depth nor any other creature. And I'm glad that that's added in there. Any other creature. You can't separate yourself from the love of Christ. The devil can't separate you from the love of Christ. So any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm glad that He has all power, and I'm glad that He keeps us in His loving in His way. I want to go to one more place here this morning. And this is reflection upon the love of God too. But I just wanted to kind of throw this in. This is free. this morning in the fifth chapter of the Galatian letter. Well, this is when we have known the love of God and we've been born again of the Spirit of God. And so he says, this I, Paul says, this I say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the love of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. We love the Spirit of God is God within us. This is God within us. So we want to walk in the Spirit. And we walk in the Spirit. And that should be our desire daily, to walk in the Spirit of the Lord and not of the world. For the flesh lusteth against it. We got a warfare, and it tells us about it right here in a Galatian letter. It tells us all through the Word of God about our warfare with the world, with the devil. It's, the devil's going to and fro, destroying who he made, destroying people's happiness in the Lord. I want to rejoice in the Lord. I want to enjoy the joy of my salvation while I live here in this timely world. When I get to heaven, I know I'm going to enjoy it. So I want to enjoy it now. I don't want to wait till I get over yonder to be able to enjoy it. I want to enjoy it now. Now is the time I want to enjoy it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. You know, if before I was born again of the Spirit of the Lord, before I felt the love of God, I didn't really care what I'd done too much. Now, I didn't want to kill nobody. I didn't want to hurt nobody or nothing like that. I did have morals. But I didn't care too much what I did trying to, you know, being rowdy. I'll put it that way, being rowdy. And we all know what I'm talking about. When I say we enjoyed the things of the world in the sense that we went out and did them. So we've got a warfare going on. The devil comes against us. He comes and he comes and comes. His fiery darts comes. But God says in the sixth chapter of the Ephesian letter, he says put on the whole armor of God. Not just part of it. Put on the whole armor of God. And we have to have that on to protect ourselves. Our soldiers don't go out and fight without their armor on. You know, they don't go out in war against, and here we're talking about something that is more powerful than any million soldiers, is the devil. He's second in God to power. But God gives us something to protect ourselves, to go out and to fight against the wiles of the devil, he says. Put on the whole armor of God. And you notice in the sixth chapter of the Ephesian letter, we got the helmet of salvation, we got the breastplate, our feet is shod with the gospel. But there's nothing for the back. You know why he didn't give us anything for the back? Because we're to stand and face the devil and to fight. We're not to turn our backs where we can be the fiery darts will get us. We are to stand and fight against the fiery darts. We are to have the whole armor on. But if you turn your back, then you're going to get the fiery darts. If you try to, you know, we have that power. By the power of God, we have power. By the power of God, we can fight against the fiery darts. That's what the Apostle Paul says, that God has given that to us. So this again is the love of God. This is the love of God that he has given us as soldiers of Christ to fight against the things, the world, and the things that will come against you. So he says here, this I say, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these things are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these things, and it names the things like adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, and variances, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, and drunkenness, and revelations, and all such like. Of this, which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is plain as day. That is plain as day. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that is if you're continually doing these things, continually. Now, but he says, he goes on to say in the 22nd verse, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The first thing it mentions is love. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temper. You see all the things that this brings to us, that God gives us? Who wants to live in their life in havoc? Who wants to live? Who wants to live like H-E-L-L? Who wants a life like that? Maybe the world does, but I'm glad that I have the life that I have. I'm glad I have the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm reminded by my godly conscience daily that things that I should not do or things I should not enter into. God reminds us. We know right from wrong, don't we? And the love of God, which is our godly conscience, reminds us. God says no. God says no. God says no to the things of the world. God says no to these things. And when we dabble in the things of the world, you know, we might say, well, that's not bothering me too much. And the first thing you know, you're dabbling a little bit more and a little bit more into things of the world, and you're off into the world, and you're not enjoying the joy of your salvation. You're not enjoying the love of the Lord. You're not enjoying the church. First thing you know, you're out of the church and out in the world doing the things of the world again. That doesn't mean you lost your salvation, but it means you've lost the joy of it. I want to enjoy the joy of my salvation. I don't want anything to do with the world. He says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're God's people. And we are to love the Lord Jesus Christ as He has commanded us with our whole heart. So he goes on to say in the 24th verse, he says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. That means you have come away from sin, in the sense that you don't want to sin anymore. You don't want to be like you used to be, because you have a godly conscience. You don't want to be out in the world doing the things of the world. He says in the 24th verse, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, I think this kindly, you know, we claim to be lovers of Christ. That's why we call ourselves Christian. I believe that's the meaning. Lovers of Christ. And you say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I love the Lord with all my heart. And people see you doing things that you shouldn't be doing as a Christian. Now, what's the first thing that they're going to do? They're going to start spreading around. Well, here's a man that claims to be, or a woman that claims to be a Christian, and they're out doing all these things that they shouldn't be doing. They're saying things that they shouldn't be saying. You know, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be a Christian. That's what most of them say. I'm not saying that sometimes we don't get off track or on the wrong road, but listen, if we have the Spirit of the Lord, we need to get back in the Spirit of the Lord and get back on the road that God has set us on. So, yes, we have a free will to be able to sin or not to sin. But we don't have a free will as far as our salvation is concerned. You know, the joy of the Lord, to me, is life. The joy of the Lord is an experience, one of the great experiences that I've ever experienced. I don't want to lose the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is the essence of happiness, our happiness. The essence of happiness, nothing more, nothing can move us more than the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord. The natural things can't give us what God can give us. The natural, we need food and we need the natural things that God does give us, and we are to glorify God with when we say grace over the food. We thank the Lord for our food. If we got a roof over our head and clothes on our back, we thank the Lord for that. You know, I just thought of something yesterday morning. I was sitting in a McDonald's, and this couple come in and sat down in the seat right in front of me, and he was on crutches, and he had a jacket on, and telling that he had served in the military, that he was a veteran. And they sat down, and they said, good morning, and you know, I talked back. Never seen them before, but anyway, they sat down in front of me, and she got up and went and got their food and come back, and first thing I noticed is they bowed their heads. You know, they bowed their heads and prayed over their food. And I, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, well, you know, that's good to see people do that, especially out in a public restaurant like that. A lot of people think, you know, that we shouldn't pray in public, but I think we should pray any place we get a chance to pray. But anyway, I sat there for a few minutes, and I said, I don't know if I should. I wanted to say something to them so bad how much I appreciated them seeing what they did, to show their love for God that much that they would be willing to pray in public. And so finally I just got up and I said, I got to say something. I said, I appreciate seeing y'all pray in a public place. And he says, he said, I don't care where I'm at. He says, sometimes I just stop and pray. And he got to tell me about when he was in Vietnam, I think that's where he was at. He says, you know, when I was in Vietnam, he said, I had no inkling about the Lord. He said, I'd heard of God, but he said, I didn't know if there was a God or not. And I didn't know if God loved me or not. But he says, I was in a foxhole, and he says, the bombs was going off. He says, I got my legs blowed off. And he said, at the time that I was laying there, and he says, I didn't ever pass out or anything. My legs was, I could look down and see my legs blown off. He said, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh God, have mercy upon me. Oh God, have mercy upon me. Now, we may not have ever went through something like that to cause us to say, God, have mercy upon us, having our legs blowed off. But I'm thankful to God this morning that I met them folks. I you know, it encouraged me. It encouraged me to just talk to them just a few moments. And so anyway, I just thought I had to tell you about my experience. And sometimes I meet people and have wonderful experience with them about the Lord and talk about the Lord. That's what we need to be talking about is the Lord and what we should be experiencing with other Christians and other people. So anyway, this morning as we dove into this very unexplainable thing in the Word of God, almost unexplainable, the eternal God, His everlasting love, as he told Jeremiah over there, and I believe it's about the 31st chapter, says, with an everlasting love have I loved thee, even with the cords of love have I drawn thee. And that's how he draws us. That's how he draws us. You know, that's how he draws people that don't have the Word of God. Now, I believe that those people, you know, I hear people begging for the Bible and different places in the world where they can't get the Word of God. I read Brother Bradley's paper this morning, and people from all over the world. And we have on our internet, we have people from all over the world calling and writing to us and letting us know how much they appreciate our internet, the Mount Zion Primitive Baptist Church. I've got calls from Australia. I've got calls from the Philippines and got calls from all over the world. And I get calls ever so often from people, and we talk about the Lord. Now, one time, I think I might have mentioned this, I got a call from the Philippines, and I didn't realize how much long-distance call. And I got my phone bill. They asked me if I would accept the call, and I thought it may have been Brother Gus Harder or somebody called me. And I got my phone bill, and it was $270. So I said, well, next time I'm not going to talk as long. But we had a good conversation. And you know what? The man was looking for an old Baptist church. And so I gave him all the information where he could find Brother Harder's church, because he only lived about 30 miles, come to find out, 30 miles from where Brother Harder used to be. Of course, Brother Harder's back here now. But anyway, had a good talk with him, and we talked about the Lord. And he, you know, he was very appreciative of me telling him about the church. So anyway, this morning, I hope that I've said something that would be a benefit to God's people. And remember, God loves you. And just love Him back and try to serve Him with all your heart. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. Does someone have a song? Was that? Number 19. Let us stand and sing number 19.